Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Over the next four Sundays, we'll be exploring the so-called Bread of Life discourse from John chapter 6. In the four corresponding sermons, we'll be unpacking what Jesus means when he calls himself the Bread of Life, starting with today's text from verse 24, and reading selected verses again. When the people found Jesus on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Let's pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. To understand the Bread of Life discourse, it helps to start by looking at its context, both the immediate context in John's Gospel and its historical context from the Old Testament. As we heard in the Gospel reading last week, John 6 starts with Jesus miraculously feeding over 5,000 people with five loaves of barley bread and two fish near the Sea of Galilee. As this takes place around the time of the Passover, the people see in Jesus another prophet like Moses. In Deuteronomy 18, Moses promised, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him." Like Moses, Jesus not only teaches the people about God, but he provides for their physical needs. Jesus feeds the people bread and meat, just as Moses provided manna and quail to the people of Israel in the wilderness after they escaped slavery in Egypt. And so the people decide to make Jesus king by force if necessary. Not wanting this, Jesus withdraws. He miraculously crosses the sea to Capernaum, where the crowds eventually find him. But when they do, Jesus clarifies their misplaced expectations. He makes it clear that he is much more than just another Moses. He is not just the distributor of God's gifts to his people, but Jesus is the gift itself. He says, "I am the bread of life." What is this bread of life Jesus claims to be, and why use the term bread in the first place? Like most of the "I am" sayings in John's Gospel, Jesus uses something physical, something people can see and touch, to describe a deeper reality that we can't necessarily see. In this case, Jesus uses a staple food for the people of the time, bread, to describe how he gives life to the whole person of someone who trusts in him. In this part of the discourse, Jesus gives three examples of how he is like bread for the life of the world. And as he does this, he also shows the people how much greater he is than what they are expecting. The first example Jesus gives that he is like bread is that he provides nourishment. In today's Old Testament reading, we saw an example of how important a staple food like bread or manna is. Without regular intake of such food, people's bodies starve and they eventually die. In a similar way, people need to regularly feed on Jesus to stay strong and healthy in all aspects of their lives. Note that I hesitate to simply contrast the physical with the spiritual. I am not saying that physical bread only feeds the body while Jesus only feeds our spirits, because that would not be in keeping with how the Bible describes human beings. Rather, God has made us embodied spirits. So the things that affect our spirit will also affect our body, and vice versa. Body and spirit are not two separate entities. This is why Jesus sees himself as nourishment for our whole being. Indeed, he creates and sustains the life of the whole world. As Jesus said to the people, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." This contrast between the lives of Moses and Jesus is helpful in understanding the true significance of the bread of life. Through Moses, God saved his people from slavery in Egypt and sustained them in the wilderness until they reached the promised land. Through Jesus, God continues to save his people from the far more deadly slavery to sin and sustains them through the wilderness of this life until he brings us into the promised land of heaven. The second example Jesus uses to compare himself with bread is that he satisfies our hunger. We all know what it is. It feels like to be hungry, to long for food to fill our stomachs. This was the longing that drove the people to cross the Sea of Galilee to find Jesus. So Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." It's important to note here that Jesus was not condemning the people for seeking earthly food. He knew they needed it to survive and was happy to provide it earlier. However, he wanted to make them aware of another, deeper, more important hunger that only he could truly satisfy, their longing for God. Whether people are conscious of it or not, we are all made with the need for God, as David expresses poignantly in Psalm 63. "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water." God is the source of our life. So when we are separated from him, we feel that loss keenly and would do anything to satisfy it. This explains why unbelievers chase after possessions or drugs or sex or power, anything to fill their need for God. But sadly, none of these alternatives truly satisfy. If anything, they lead to a cycle of wanting more and more, yet being satisfied less and less. Jesus, on the other hand, promises, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The third point Jesus makes is that the bread he gives lasts. Jesus said to the people when they first found him, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Jesus not only highlights that the people should seek the heavenly bread that truly satisfies their need for God, but that this food is superior in every way. The bread that they received at the feeding of the 5,000 and even the manna received in the wilderness would eventually spoil. But what Jesus wants to give us cannot spoil. This is because Jesus is bread from heaven, who has always been and will always continue to be. As we confessed in the Creed, he is eternally begotten of the Father. And so those who feed on Jesus will not only be nourished and satisfied in this life, but will also share in his eternal life. And if that weren't enough, Jesus gives us himself and his eternal life as a gift, for free. When the people asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." Even faith in Jesus is God's gift. This leads into the final question raised by this passage from the Bread of Life discourse. How do we receive these gifts from God through our Lord Jesus? How do we feed on the bread of life? Some commentators suggest that eating the bread of life is listening to Jesus' words, and that is certainly part of it. Like Moses before him, Jesus teaches us about God. He teaches us the law, what God expects of us, as well as the gospel, what God wants to do for us. Listening to Jesus is essential because it is through God's word that we receive the gift of faith, that we can believe in the one God has sent. But the bread of life is not just received through God's word. Another obvious so-called means of grace, the way in which God bestows his gifts on us, is through the Lord's Supper, which we'll celebrate soon. In the bread of the sacraments, we receive Jesus' very body into ourselves to keep alive the faith we have already received at baptism. And we'll talk more about the Lord's Supper in the coming weeks. But it's important to note that feeding on the bread of life does not end with word and sacrament. Rather, the means of grace lead us into our participation in the life of Jesus and his people. Feeding on Jesus joins us to him in the body of Christ, as Paul describes the church in today's epistle reading from Ephesians 4. In the body of Christ, we receive the benefits of that heavenly food to equip and empower us for a life of service, a life where we share with others the good news of what Jesus has done for us and help them through practical ways to live in it. Or to use the bread imagery, Jesus brings us into his body not only to satisfy our hunger, but to equip us to show other hungry people where to find his heavenly bread. Then, as Paul concludes the epistle reading, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. Dear people of God, Jesus is the bread of life. He wants to nourish you, the whole of you, so that you might travel safely from the slavery of sin into the promised land of heaven. And unlike the temporary food of this world, he promises to fully satisfy you, to fulfill your need for God in your life. Finally, Jesus promises that the bread he gives you will not spoil, but will last into eternal life. So feed on him regularly through his word and sacraments. Participate fully in his life now through his body, the church. And as you do, he will feed and strengthen you to serve others with the bread of life too. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.